Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, y'all? It's that time. We're doing another one because we refuse to lose and to keep you paying attention and your eyes focused on the prize, on the mission, on the objective. The struggle continues. It ain't never going to stop. And if you ain't struggling, you ain't working because we are under attack. I'm Citizen Payne, also known as Eric Payne, also known as K's son. This is K's son and friends. And Mr. Byron Saunders, the legendary historian, and Brother Wayne Gilman, the legendary newsman. You know, we need to talk about this stuff. We need to talk about a lot of the stuff that's going on. First, we want to say rest in peace to the RGB, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Supreme Court Justice. You know, she got that. They gave her the notorious RBG. They let her, you know, Brooklyn let her have it. She's from Brooklyn. So, you know, I'm sure Biggie Smalls, the notorious Biggie Smalls, would not have a problem with it, the notorious B.I.G. And what can you say about this lady, this little lady? She was a bad shut my mouth. She didn't play. And she was smart. She didn't play. She didn't mess around. She stood up to – she's an example of what women have gone through in this country, ladies and gentlemen. She's an example of the struggle of the women's movement. But not only the women's movement, but a liberal women's movement, because, you know, some of the in the women's movement are a little conservative. You know, everybody was talking about the women's march after Trump got elected, but, you know, a lot of those women voted for Trump. So the hypocrisy never ceases to amaze me. But, hey, but Ruth Bader Ginsburg was one that walked it like she talked it, and she could break it down. And so we have to pay honor and respect to that, that she held it down, being the only woman on the court for a minute, I believe, when Sandra Day O'Connor got off the court or retired. And, you know, she fought the power, you know. And it's not surprising that the ghouls, I call them ghouls, vampires, they're walking dead, the evil ones, the president of the Confederacy and his mob, not surprising that she wasn't even really cold, probably still making her transition, that they could not wait, that's politics, but out of decency, they could not wait to speculate what would happen and start to plot and plan like ghouls, like the undead. Because, you know, the undead supposedly have no souls, no blood, no feeling, no empathy. These guys, they have none of that. They are the epitome of the evil empire. That is who they are. I'm just talking. This is just my opinion here, but I just got to go by what I see, that these men have no integrity. Who's surprised that they flipped it, you know? Who's surprised that they flipped it, that they said, you know, someone like Lindsey Graham said, put me on tape, play the tape back, you know? But, you know, I'm not surprised. What continues to frustrate me is the political party that I vote with from time to time that seem to just want to be Charlie Brown, getting the football snatched away every time he goes to kick it and Lucy's holding it. The, you know what I've been calling that party, my party, the, you know, the lack of PR, campaign, all of this stuff. Now for the Democratic Party, you know what? Now is the time for us to have Frank Underwood. And if you don't know who Frank Underwood is, I'm not going to tell you. But now is the time that we need an individual like Frank Underwood on our side, because we seem to be, you know, we want to lay back. We want to react, always reacting. We always reacting. get mad and say, oh, they're not going to do that. Let's hope they have integrity. They have none. And if at this point people are still acting like, let's hope that they do the, no. All you got to do is slap me in the face once for me to know that I'm not going to let you slap me again. But, hey, I'm an African-American that grew up in this country, so it really don't take us long to get to the conclusion of how stuff goes on in this mythical land. It's mythical. Ain't nothing for real. These people, they don't believe what they say. They don't do what they say. And actually, if you really read, do your history and do your homework, if you really read the documents that they wrote, they make it plain what they do. I watched a documentary on YouTube. You guys should check it out, called The History of Racism in America. And the brother breaks it down really, really breaks it down thoroughly about, I caught it in the second part. So he was breaking down what the Second Amendment really meant and what the militia's real purpose was, to really be the slave catchers. But you got to watch it for yourselves and check it out. I'm going to bring in my brother Byron Saunders. I know he's down there in like what he likes to call the cesspool, and I know he's a little bit heated, and he's got some things to say. Brother Byron Saunders, a legendary historian. What's up, Byron?
Well, as you are accurate, I'm here in the cesspool, and every day is another revelation of the hidden truths of a very criminal organization that's currently occupying the White House. And it's being revealed in a very almost cinematic way. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, God rest her soul, chose to go on Rosh Hashanah, a high holy day. And I find it incredible that the person who, this little lady, stopped the world again. And for what? Justice. This whole issue of justice and racial equality, and so this, the standard bearer of justice, peace, John, we had Congressman Williams, we have, you know, the list of the heroes, this shero now, and this woman who stood for justice. I find that incredible at a time when we need to hear about the rule of law. And so I think it's inspired many, especially to drop money into the bucket to say we need to keep this spirit alive. They had a record-breaking over $100 million in donations this week toward Democratic causes, and I find that incredible because it is about the issue. This is how we retake the government, and this needs to be reminded of the GOP. You all are a minority. As I last count, the majority is the silent majority. We gave you an opportunity to do things, and you screwed it up. Now the silent majority is stepping forward. We are no longer going to be silent. We are the majority, and we're about to retake what you've stolen, because this hypocrisy that you're engaging in right now is just beyond comic book relief, like you say. And I've been saying, they live in a virtual world of make-believe, too much Disneyland. You know, y'all, I don't know what y'all smoking or what y'all drinking, but I don't want none of that, because it's inspired by a dark side that is, well, let's just call it what it is, a dark side.
Yeah, and we have, I'm going to bring on our special guest here. He has a serious opinion, and he's in that environment, fighting the fight, fighting against the evil empire. We can maybe call him Luke Skywalker. I don't know. Let's bring him in, Congressman Donald Payne Jr. How you doing this evening, Congressman, and what do you have to say about this stuff?
Good evening, and it's good to be here with you. It's been a little while. I don't know. It's true. I'm in that environment, and I'm a bit bewildered right now. With the passing of Justice Ginsburg and the total hypocrisy of the Republican Party just never ceases to amaze me. The next step that they take towards total annihilation of this experiment we call the United States of America. And It just, I'm just dumbfounded. I'm in a daze. I'm in a haze. It's just mind-boggling.
Congressman Payne,
yeah.
One of the things that buoys my spirit of knowing we are on the path of correcting all the mistakes is that I recently, and I reread the Declaration of Independence, and I carry with me, as you probably do, your own personal copy of the Constitution. We're those kind of folks that understand the dynamics of government. But the question
right.
I raise with the Declaration of Independence, because it clearly states a question that's quite frankly on the edge of everything. When, if this isn't a time for uprising, when is the time? And if you read the first paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, it defines it clearly. Yes, we have the moment right now of civil unrest, but it is peaceful civil unrest, which is the way it's supposed to be. But when you begin to quash that, that's the danger that we are in right now. And you and many of your folks on the Hill, because I'm in D.C., I understand are in that quandary, but we have a document that allows us to take it to the extreme if it shall be that course. And one of those moments, I understand, is Speaker Pelosi has even considered impeachment again. Well, yes, it's there for the use of an out-of-control government. And, yes, if that's the case, the scenarios are there. It's an end game that many don't want to play, but that's what we do here in Washington, D.C. We are about end games. We're about reality, not virtual
right.
reality, you know, and not a game show. This is the real deal, people.
Right. Oh, no, you're absolutely correct. And, you know, I don't think, you know, Ms. Pelosi has any fear in, you know, exercising her power that the Constitution gives her with respect to her office. And we might have to utilize it again. And, you know, I just there are two things that I can't stand. I can even stand a liar, you know, to a certain degree. But anybody that is condescending or a hypocrite, I just can't tolerate. That's the end all for me. And those hypocrites in the United States Senate, the chief hypocrite, Mitch McConnell, and his little friend from, and the congressman, let me use protocol, I'm still a member of Congress, and the gentleman from South Carolina, who I hope it's his last term, are just sheer hypocrites.
Yeah.
I mean, and bold-faced hypocrites. I mean, do not care hypocrites, but it is what this president has set the climate in this country to allow. And it's just really unfortunate. And here we are, once again, you know, as we always are, on the short end of the stick. And I can't wait to see where we go from this point. Where can we go next?
You know, Congressman, and part of the issue now, you say you can stand a liar. I think what you probably can understand, we understand people that lie, right? People that lie, people are going to lie in the course of life.
Right.
And obviously within politics, that's what I'm taking away your meaning, what you mean by that. But it's hard, you know, it's like in the movies, you know, and I talked about this before, the theme of the movies, you know, the pressure on the good guy is that, you know, traditionally he cannot resort to the same tactics of the bad guy, right? Because then that makes him no better than the bad guy.
Right.
That makes him less honorable. So we understand that for the Democrats, we're people are bound by their integrity. You got a lot of people that are honorable, that have that integrity, that are bound by that. Certainly, your father, my uncle was that, and that's how we were raised. You know, lying was not a thing in our family. I mean, even little lies. So, you know, we could tell you about that. But so that's kind of the constraint that the Democrats are under to a certain degree. And to me, it's just, I think that, and I've mentioned it, and we've talked about this before, and we talk about this before on the show, that when they lie, we need to point it out. And I think that the party as a whole doesn't get as aggressive. We don't get on the offensive enough, you know. We don't, you know, I mean, and I said this before too, sometimes some people just want to fight you. Sometimes people just hate you. And unfortunately, turning the other cheek doesn't always work. You know, and like Muhammad Ali said, we don't get along, so we got to get it on. And sometimes it's got to get down to that. And I don't see the party enough being strong enough in terms of every single member hammering this guy every single time he makes this up, like he made up the lie about Justice Ginsburg's last request that the next justice not be chosen until after. And so when we don't point it out, that's when the media says, well, it's a mistruth, or he misspoke here. It's a lie. A lie is a liar. And everybody knows, all of us that grew up in the East Coast here, in New York, New Jersey area in particular, know Donald Trump, know that he's a liar, know that he's full of it. And the fact that he's a president who's I said we don't have a president, we've got a mob boss. Now, I didn't want to insult mob bosses. Because, you know, if they say they're going to handle something, they're going to handle you. This guy, you never know, and there's a little bit of cowardice in there, because when people really stand up to him, he kind of shies away. All you got to do is look at when he met Obama face-to-face and look at his body, his posture, and how he was sitting. Look at how he responds to Putin when he's around Putin. He's kind of meek a little bit.
Right.
So I think what I would like to see is that the Democratic Party as a whole and all of our surrogates hammer this man and every single lie that he has, because all of these people that claim to be evangelical Christians, which to me is another term for racist white people who claim they're religious, and all these people claim to be plain spoken and homespun and common sense, then let's challenge them on that. Challenge them on their patriotism. Challenge them on all of these things that they claim to stand on, at least the rank and file people, and then get them to see, even if you're a Republican, this man is not for you. He's not for you.
Right.
And for the leaders to be so corrupt and so power hungry to allow him to desecrate the memory of one of their saints, John McCain, at every chance, even in death, the man was in the grave, and they allowed him to still talk. Lindsey Graham was supposed to be John McCain's best friend, he claimed. Didn't say nothing.
Right.
So maybe, you know, you can push the party in that direction about, you know, let's get on these guys, man. Let's get on our.
I have a question for you, sir. As a representative of your constituents on the Hill, at what point, at 200,000 dead, and the projections are to be 400,000 by the end of the year, does the responsibility become murder? Because there was a very disturbing story about the United States Postal Service was ready to mail out 600 million face masks when the pandemic was hitting. And the president's staff overrode that wonderful suggestion. Imagine that. Right back in February, 600 million face masks, 5 to each person. That was the plan. Where would we be right now? We got 200,000 people dead. And because of the inability and the incompetency, the real serious question, because we come close to this, the responsibility of first-degree murder. This is where we are at right now, sir. It's a serious question.
No, I agree with you. This has been a total failure, this administration. This should be his legacy, the number of Americans that had died at his hands of neglect and irresponsibility. Your first job as President of the United States is to keep the people safe. That is your job. That's what you're supposed to go get up every morning working on and wondering about. And this president has totally neglected his responsibility. I don't know if he's capable of it, but, you know, there are 30% of the people in this country that he could, you know, and it's coming to fruition. He could shoot somebody down on Fifth Avenue and get away with it. And, you know, I used to think that was ridiculous, but you know what? It's happening right in front of us. All these people dying at his lack of ability to lead and be strong and to take the consideration of the American people whose lives are in his hands seriously. I can't tell you how soon I hope November 3rd gets here and that the American people do what is right for this country. To the Republicans that have left the party, refused to deal with him, admonished, totally turned their back on him, I applaud your strength and nobility in this effort, that you have the strength of character to see what this person is, a pariah on this country, and walk away from him and raise up to support anybody but Trump. And, you know, I just applaud, you know, those people that show strength of character like that. You know, I even worry that some Democrats wouldn't be able to do it if we found ourselves with the shoe on the other foot. But, right. You know, we have to make sure that everybody gets out here and vote. And, you know, I support Joe Biden 100%. I supported Joe Biden before I supported Barack Obama. I supported Joe Biden after Cory Booker dropped out. I have known this man for 25 years, and I respect and appreciate the person that he is. No one's perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. No one's perfect. But this man has consistently shown a character where he cares about people. He genuinely likes people and cares about people. I know it. I've seen it, and I know it. But I know everybody in this country doesn't necessarily see it or feel it or think it. Joe Biden on his worst day, Hillary Clinton on her worst day, on her very worst day, whatever it was that wouldn't let people vote for her, on her worst day, is not as bad as this person we have in the White House right now. So, you know, I say to, you know, my young millennials, you know, this is how the process works. And as you take control and you're involved in it and take the reins of power, change it to what you see it to be. But right now, you got to suck it up and get down with the team. You got to suck it up and get down with the team, because we can't have you sitting on the sidelines. That's how we got this guy the last time. If we had sucked it up and said, yeah, well, you know, Hillary, whatever your reasons are, but what we were facing with Donald Trump, now you got it. And you see what it is. They're shooting black people in the streets. Kids, they're shooting black people in the streets. You think under Hillary Clinton? No, there would be some response. There'd be some response. So let's wake up. Let's suck it up. let's get rid of Trump and move on with the senator with the vice president Biden and Kamala Harris, which is historic. No one else has done that. Taking a black woman to be vice president, and then people have problems with her. Okay, everybody, we all have problems with somebody some way. But my goodness, you got to look at the bigger picture. You got to look at the bigger picture. And so I get off my soapbox. Now, I just get a little fired up when, you know, people, I ain't going to vote. And then guess what? Then you stand there and you complain more. Well, Trump is this and Trump is that. Well, if you had gone and voted, we wouldn't have Trump. Hopefully you learned from this lesson. Can we go out this time, take one for the team, and move forward?
Yeah,
you're right, Congressman.
Let me break it down for everybody a little bit. I'm gonna break it down a little different than my cousin would, because he's has a position, and that he has to talk to you a certain way. Get your asses out there and vote, all right? Get your asses out there and vote. All you guys talking to all that hoorah about, you know, you're not voting and this and that, and I need something else. I heard some people on a couple of programs talking about they need more. Then people died for my right to vote. What more do you need than somebody spilling their blood for you? If it was long time ago, too far away, too far removed for you to get it, then put it like this. George Floyd died for your right to vote. Tamir Rice died for your right to vote. Eric Garner died for your right to vote. Breonna Taylor died for your right to vote. If you need a more current example, get your ass out there and vote. There's two ways to look at the world. There's what is, and there's what ought to be. What ought to be, yeah, we should have all those things that you're talking, all that dream, that pie in the sky stuff. But you know what? You don't get there until you make it happen. So get out there and make it happen. And also, let me tell you, when a lot of people talking about, well, nobody did nothing before us, how do you think you got here? The great John Lewis said, we're not there yet, but it ain't what it used to be. Do a little history. Do a little learning. Go on that YouTube and look at some of them videos and see how your people were treated all them years ago. They just won TV show Watchmen.
Couldn't even go in a store. Couldn't even sit down at a lunch counter. Couldn't even get a sandwich. You got that problem these days?
That's right. So get out there and make it happen. The TV show Watchmen just won an Emmy last night, and the dude, the white brother, said this is a dedication to the citizens of Tulsa of 1921. And by now you should know the history of that. So get out there and vote, man. And if you want to change it, then change it. But also, here's another thing. Don't talk about the people that didn't do nothing. Build on that. Understand the game. We came up understanding this. So now we make the necessary moves and adjustments. You're standing on people's shoulders. So they give you a little bit all they knew at that time. So then when you learn a little bit more, you take what the ancestors had and said, I can use that here. But here's the new strategy that we need to use. Use that from the ancestors. You know, when we used to have to take spoonfuls of castor oil. Remember, Chop? Your dad and Aunt Catherine just give us that castor oil. We all hated it. But that's what they brought from when they were little. Understand?
Right.
So understand the game. Understand the game out there and how you have to play it. We ain't playing chess up in here. We playing three-dimensional.
Hey, listen.
Well, we ain't playing checkers. We playing three-dimensional chess.
Tell him, man, this ain't no Instagram, all right? This ain't no Insta-nothing, all right? That's the problem. Everybody wants immediate gratification. No, it's work. It's building. It's building on top of what came before you. Nothing's instant. Believe it or not, they got y'all all faked out with Instagram and TikTok and the quick blog and the 15-second this and that, and nobody can pay attention for more than 10 minutes. Come on, man. That's not the way the world works. And they got you suckered with that stuff, so you don't focus on anything. You don't concentrate on anything. Breonna Taylor can't vote. So how are you going to sit home and not vote?
Put that street game in. Put work in. Put the work in, y'all. Let's go. Let's move to you running for re-election, and just talk about some of the things you've done, because real representatives. They like people, right? And you can see that in Joe Biden. And when he when he's around individuals, you know, taking the train back and forth to work, you got to be amongst the people to know how the people feel. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the statement came out that Trump said, you know, maybe the COVID is a good thing because I don't have to shake these nasty people's hands. He doesn't even like the people, his supporters, doesn't like being around them. You got to like people. And a real representative does and things that address the needs of you every day, your everyday life. And one of the recent things that you've done, Don, was the paycheck protection. You voted for that too, but in particular the cash versus the credit cash app. Yeah. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Basically, what we found, there was a movement across the country of businesses not accepting cash anymore, and this was for it had nothing to do with COVID. It's just easier for them, and they, you know, well, that's what they said. It's easier for them. It complicates less cash transactions, so people, you know, can't steal it. And so, but really, what it is another way to keep 25% of the country does not use credit cards. Everybody doesn't have credit cards, and so what would happen? 25% of this country would be left out of the economy in this nation if we allow this to continue to happen. So I knew in my communities and rural communities across the country, there are people that don't have credit cards. Now, I use the ATM card all the time, but that's not the point. It's having the choice. So we have the Payment Choice Act, and that that says that you can sue or have stores be brought up on charges if they don't accept cash. I mean, why? I mean, you're going to tell me that in the United States of America, you're not going to be able to use a dollar bill, $10 bill?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It'll no longer be legal tender in this country? And that's focused at poor people again.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I have this bill that's going through the House of Representatives, and it's picked up a lot of steam, and because there are white rural areas that don't use credit cards as much either, so it's picked up steam. Some Republicans have gotten on, and you know, we just felt that to have 25% of this country not be able to function in this society was wrong, and so that's where I came up with the bill. And hopefully, you know, it'll be voted on and go into law. Also, I just dropped a bill that will have the federal government pay schools for the PPE that they put out during the pandemic, and reimburse them for the PPE that they've used to school districts, because it's been a burdensome cost on school districts all across the country. And so that's the latest bill that I just dropped. But you know, I've been working on peripheral artery disease, which is you know, most diabetics have it, and it's really just it's just a thing where you have poor circulation and your veins and your legs don't get the blood flow that it needs, and then you end up having to have amputations. And there are a lot of people in this country that have unnecessary amputations. And so I have working on a bill that would make screening for peripheral artery disease just as common as a mammogram. And there are just so many amputations in this country that are unnecessary. And what we found in some states in the South, that some of the hospitals, that's their revenue generation, cutting people's feet off. And you know, so we're trying to put an end to that. So, you know, once again, that's, you know, poor white folks and us. And, you know, so those are some of the things that I've been focused on. The least of us is where I try to focus my efforts.
And that's the majority. That's the majority of Americans, you know, and giving them, you're talking about giving them the same rights and advantages that the more wealthy and the well-off Americans have, having that type of health care, that type of opportunity to health care, making sure schools have the resources that they can use for the education of the students, reimbursing them for the PPE. And, of course, you know, the cash system, you know, that whole cash credit card, you got to buy a prepaid card. You pay $4 to load the card up. Then they take money off the card every time. So, you know, that's something that if you're walking around on the streets, if you're the average person out there, these are things that address your needs. If you want to ask Congressman a quick question, we've got another 23 minutes, 323-679-0906. So if you just want to have something to say in the conversation, you know, give us a shout. Let us know how you feel. And like I said, you're running for re-election, so Byron, you got to fire a question off of the Congress. You got to face the fire, Congressman.
Well, Congressman, you seem to have your pulse on the public here. In your district, are you seeing an increase in registered voters? As you know, down here in Virginia, the lines have been 4 hours long. They just started yesterday, If anything, if I were to read the vote, most of these people are wearing their masks. So that might be an indication of who they're voting for. But if not, they're still playing it safe, which is what we want them to do. So what are you seeing in your district, sir?
Yeah, you know, and that's another thing that's going on with respect to the election and what we're seeing. You know, people are going out in droves and masses because the president has fooled around with the post office, and he's, you know, all you have to do is raise the question and a little doubt in people's minds. So now a lot of people are not going to trust the mail for their ballots. So that's why you see the lines that you see in Virginia. They're going to go vote in person. And now, mind you, all across the country, they've minimized the number of places to vote because they thought most people were going to stay at home. So now you have the reverse of the situation. More people are coming out, and you have fewer locations to vote because they've put in your mind, you know, whether the mail is safe. We're attempting to try to have as many people register as we can. You know, as I stated to my millennials earlier, please come out and vote. Any revolution that was worth its salt was started by young people. And now's your time to step up too. It's not to step away from the process. It's supposed to step up and step into the process. And the more of you that are involved, the louder your voice is, and you can change things to the way you want to see them. But sitting at home, sitting on your hands, just doesn't do it, because people in my business only respond to people that vote. If you can't vote them out, they don't care about you. They really don't. You know, we were raised differently, but, you know, I see it, and I know what it is. So the one thing a politician doesn't want to hear, doesn't want to hear is for you to say, "Well, I'm not voting for you." So get out there and vote. We've seen an uptick, but it's still not enough. There's so many people that are on the sidelines watching passively that should be in the game. But we continue to try to make inroads in and get them to understand how important this really is. You would think by now most folks would get it, but, you know, we're still having to sing the same old song, you know.
And let me just say this. Go ahead, Barry.
I wanted, Congressman, there's a concern going on that the so-called right wing are showing up at polling places with a direct approach to perhaps being intimidating at our polling places. We cannot have this happen, Congressman. The Justice Department,
right.
I understand we have a rather ne'er-do-well in the head of our Justice Department, but if this is going to be the manner in which the other side is going to play that game, this is very dangerous, as you know.
No,
it's
very true.
60s. Yes.
Very true. We have to be mindful of that and make sure that anyone that sees any of that type of activity, contact their board of elections in their community and report it right away, so the authorities can go out and quell it. So, yes, please, if you see any activity like that going on, you have to report it right away to your local board of elections or the police department. Somewhere, with someone that has an official capacity. But, yes, we have to be mindful of that. So we all have to keep our eyes open during this election. There are going to be so many different things, distractions going on very concerned about this election, very concerned.
Yeah, and also another thing I heard that they were telling people on Facebook. My sister called me a little while ago and said they were misleading people, said if you needed to register again, that you had to register twice, that if you were registered to vote in the primary, that was not good enough and you needed to register for the general. That is a lie. If you've registered and you voted in the primary, you can vote in the general election in a couple of weeks, or whenever you get your mail-in ballot. So if you're already registered, you're registered to vote, and you're straight. So don't let anybody tell you something different. Get out there and vote. And for you guys, you millennial guys and all you young guys, we understand. I understand. And me and my cousin, I'm sure he thought the same way. When we were young, we kind of figured, that was what our parents were doing, and by the time we got old, it was all going to be squashed. And we were in programs, youth and government programs, Model United Nations, with a whole bunch of people that thought like us. Some didn't, but we were able to come together and talk about these things and learn about government. But I'm sure we never anticipated that this particular fight would be here again. But you know what?
Never.
Sometimes the struggle takes a lifetime. It's 400 years, 1619. Our people were enslaved in bondage for some 300 years. And like I said, it ain't right, but it is what it is. So you owe it to all of those people, your great history, American history, whatever you are, not just black people. If you're trying to be a patriot in this country, if you believe in those values, if you really buy into that, then you got to walk it like you talk it and make it happen.
That's
right. We have these Republicans, they have a 30-year plan. I was looking at a article that Joy Reid pointed out tonight in the Washington Post by a guy named Philip Bump. I think it was written in 2017. And the Republican Party has failed to win the majority of the vote in presidential contests, and they instead have relied on the electoral contest. And they keep winning the majority of the Senate, and they end up taking seats from the states that make up the less than a majority of the taking seats from the majority population states and giving those seats to the minority population states. They're trying to basically affect a minority by rule system. And five of the nine current justices were nominated by presidents who lost the popular vote. And also this gentleman states that by 2040, two-thirds of Americans will be repped by 30% of the Senate, and then that 70% of Americans are expected to live in the 15 largest states. They will only have 30 senators repping them, while 30% of Americans will have 70 senators repping them. And so this is the projection by 2040, so we need to get out there and change it, y'all. Understand, and there's people starting to understand what the midterms mean, and we need to understand what federal judgeships mean, and we're going to get on the Democratic Party and work on our PR, you know, a little bit more to get out to the people and to refute these lies. The very first lie that this man came into office was that Barack Obama did not leave him an improved economy, a stable economy. But if we know the history, we know that the previous Republican ran the economy into the ground. And if you look at the Republican before him, which was his dad, he ran the economy into the ground. Bill Clinton came, left the country a surplus. George W. came, ran the economy into the ground, all the way underground, really. Barack Obama came in, did the heavy, heavy lifting, and left this guy, the convict, the, you know, Donnie, left him a stable economy as much as it could be, and he's running it into the ground. So understand the history of that. When you look at the through line, like my cousin said, look at the big picture. You understand. So understand what you have to do and the moves that you have to make. That's what I'm saying. Learn from the past, build on it, and bring your ideas and your techniques. You know what I'm saying? Any final words you want to talk to the folks about, Congressman? We can let you go. If any other points you want to make, like why people should vote for you?
I just been very fortunate, you know, in my life to been given the opportunity to represent people at this level of government. I don't take it very lightly. It's a true honor to have the confidence of people in your district, in your community, your neighbors, willing to send you to be their voice in Washington. And I try to work hard every single day at it. I do better some days than others, but you know, my mission is true, and my commitment to the people of the 10th District in New Jersey and the American people are steadfast, and a lot of responsibility, a lot of weight on my shoulders, being on Chairman of Homeland Security, Emergency Preparedness, Response, Recovery. I'm chairman of that subcommittee, and that committee basically deals with any man-made or natural disaster that happens in the country comes to my desk. So whether it be the wildfires in California right now or the hurricanes down south or tornadoes in the Midwest, or school shootings, or whatever trauma there is in the country, it comes to my desk and my responsibility. So, you know, it's an awesome, awesome responsibility, but I wear the hat willingly and trying to make sure that we keep people safe here in this country. And so I just want to thank the people of the 10th District for sending me and having the confidence in me to continue in that capacity. Thank you.
Also, real quick, in that capacity that you just described, you noticed a need in the various agencies being able to communicate. And that's very important now because we got all that stuff going on now. And you introduced a bill, the interoperability bill. I'm paraphrasing. I'm sure I'm messing up the name. But talk about that a little bit.
No, it was signed into law. You actually said it very well. I mean, that's my test to see who can say the word. You know, when they introduced me, I wait to see how they jacked that up. But it took me a little while. Interoperability, the Homeland Security Interoperability Bill. What they found after 9/11 and that whole tragic event, which created this department that I am honored to serve in, was that during that day, you had different entities there on different floors, you know, obviously Port Authority Police, New York Police, New York Manhattan Fire Department, Yonkers, Brooklyn, but none of them were able to talk to each other and communicate from floor to floor to tell what was happening in the buildings. And they felt that was the major flaw, the inability for the different entities to to communicate with each other. And so I passed the bill in my first term, which was really fairly amazing in the a Republican majority House and Senate, although we had President Obama. But I passed the interoperative bill through the House of Representatives 378-0. And so no one voted against it because we all on the same page when in terms of, what happened on that dreadful day and, our unity in trying to make sure our first responders never find themselves in that position again, or anyone, my God, finds itself in that position again and not being able to communicate between different jurisdictions. And so I'm very proud of that as a freshman. Not too many freshmen get to pass laws in their first year, first term, but I was successful in that because I had a situation that needed to be addressed and everybody agreed on. So thanks for bringing that up, Eric. I kind of forget about that, but it was really an honor to pass that piece of legislation.
And that's something that's good for the country. You know, I mean, living in where we live and close to what happened with 9/11, you understood the need for that. But every one of us all across the country, certainly now with the fires and the hurricanes and the floods, that's something that really needed to be addressed. And hopefully it helps to save lives, or that the very least that we not lose any other lives that would have been lost otherwise. And that's what, that's what your representative should do. Address those needs, see a need, address it, and attack it. So we want to thank you for calling in tonight. Full disclosure, you all know that that's my cousin. But also, I'm not going to let him slide. So, he's got to make his case to you. And
that's for sure.
That's another thing. We got to earn it. We were taught to earn it where we come from. And certainly by our parents, but certainly in the city that we were born, you got to earn what you get. So thanks for calling in, Don. It's hard for me not to call him by his nickname, but we'll talk to you again soon. All right?
All right. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. So, B, Wayne was having a little trouble calling in. I think that they're trying to block that brother being in the city. But we have some work to do. I'm hearing the words of Dr. King saying some difficult days ahead, but the courage was there. What was the statement he made about courage?
On that particular speech, that was the last speech he made in Memphis. He says, "We have some difficult days ahead. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get there. Because my eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." One of those very, very important speeches. But yes, Martin Luther King pinpointed it. He told us about it. And it's nice to hear the congressman get a little frustrated, and speak from his heart. Because we need that. We need that compassion from our leaders. If they show no compassion, that's one of the things I'll say about Joe Biden at his town hall meeting. Notice the two things are very significant. When Trump had his town hall meeting, he sat down the entire town hall meeting as if he's the king. Let us bow to the king. Joe Biden stood up the entire time. And when he was heard from a young woman whose sister passed away, and she was talking about how her nieces and nephews are without a mother, the first thing out of Joe Biden's mouth was, "I'm sorry for your loss." Showing compassion. That's a huge, huge difference. Now, it may not resonate, completely as it should, like a big thud on an anvil dropping on the ground, but to show compassion, and it's not his fault, but he still apologized. That's what we are lacking right now. And this is a time when we have to have leaders who are willing to stand up, and we'll see who has the courage, profiles and courage to say that the Republicans are engaging in the highest form of hypocrisy. It's right there in front of their faces, Eric. Cannot deny it any longer.
Yeah, that's very true. And you know how you can tell someone who really has that compassion, that empathy, they get fired, like you talk about getting fired up, they get fired up at injustice, you know?
Yeah.
They get fired up when people's rights, when someone, when there's a real wrong that has been done. You could tell somebody who really has their heart in the right place and their integrity and their honor in the right place, because they get mad when someone else has been wronged, you know? And that's when you see Joe get fired up, right? That's when you heard my cousin get fired up. I'm always on 10, you know, so because, I will never, and we should never get used to injustice to anyone. Like Dr. King said, a threat to justice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And I screwed up the quote, but you guys know what I'm talking about. And if you've been getting in trouble, get in some good trouble. It's time to get in some good trouble now. I've gotten enough bad trouble in my life. Not that I'm the worst person, but, you know, focus on the good things. Like, if you're going to get arrested, let it be about something. And a lot of you are out there getting arrested for that, and I commend you. But then we got to finish the task. Got to get out there and vote. You know, if you could be out there protesting at night and battling those crazy people that might want to battle you, you can sure wait in that line for whatever hours it's going to take. Because that's what they're counting on, right? You know?
That's true.
Dr. King, he said courage is moving forward when you're unsure what will happen next. Just have faith.
And for those persons who are standing out there, as the congressman was sharing with, if you see any cause of someone trying to intimidate you by either gathering within the constructs of there's a line that they cannot cross at a polling place, know your rights. If they're past that 100-foot line and they're over there making too much noise, then you have a right to complain to the deputy registrar or the registrar at the booth and say, this is intimidation. I demand that they be removed from the property. That's your right. Know the right, and it's nonviolent right. You ain't got to get involved with it. All you got to do is report it, and by all means, use your phone to document it.
Right.
That's what we need now, y'all. We need to have smart voters at the voting booth. Don't let anybody intimidate you on any kind of way. So that's how that's done, Eric. We got to get involved, as you said.
Yeah, you got to get involved. And you know what? I'm going to talk to the people that are going to be on the other side that don't believe in everything. You got a right to express your opinion too, but you don't got a right to intimidate people. You don't got a right to try and beat up people, and that's both sides. So if you ain't got to agree with people, that's your right. This is America. You ain't got to agree with folks. So, if your cause is just and right, then, you know, make your point. I'll debate anybody anytime, and if they make a point that is justified, that they make a point to me that makes sense to me, sure, I'm about equality. I think we got, who's this on 7-8? We got a minute 30. Who is this? 90 seconds.
Wayne
real
Gilman,
quick. 7-8.
Well,
oh, Wayne, you just announced say goodnight.
Yeah, I know. I apologize, but I did try several times at the top of the hour. Could not get through. I don't know why.
Right.
You know, maybe
okay.
it's Trump. Yeah.
Well,
I know you got a couple of seconds left, man. This is a monumental week. I agree with all of you with regard to the issue of voting, and we got to have a dialogue, even with people we don't like.
All right, there it is. We're going to do this again on Wednesday, folks. Wayne will be here for sure. We're going to get his phone straight, and Wayne, we'll talk to you again on Wednesday, Brother Wayne Gilman.
All right.
Say goodbye, brother. All right.
All right. All the best.
All right, brother. The historian, Brother Byron Saunders, did it again.
Yes, sir. I'm glad Wayne got his voice back. Remember this, folks. We are the majority. We're not a silent minority. We are the silent majority who is about to roar. Use your power.
That's right.
Now.
That's right. We'll see you again, Brian. Talk to you on Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Case, Son and Friends. Thanks to my cousin, Congressman Donald Payne, calling in and making his case for voting, making his case for reelecting him, but also, you know, to answer the questions. And we need to get out there and certainly exercise your right to vote, whichever way you decide to vote. I'm Citizen Payne. This is Case, Son and Friends. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday. All right? Make it happen.
like John Perkins, flowing with the pestilence. The hard-headed never learned. It's my testament to those burned. Play my position in the game of life, standing firm. On foreign land, jump to gun out the frying pan. And